Street on the air.
It's 4 minutes after 7 o'clock. You're listening to Kaya Biz here on Kaya 959. Now, this is one of the most exciting conversations that we have, where we speak to business leaders about pivotal moments and experiences that have shaped their view of leadership, shaped their careers, and even their personal lives. So today, this evening, I'm quite excited to be speaking to a key leader within the mining fraternity. You might recall that just over a week or two ago, we spoke to the entity regarding its operations and results after having declared a wonderful dividend for shareholders and improved on its operational efficiencies. Tonight, we speak to the leader, newly appointed CEO of Exxaro Resources, Dr. Nombasa Tsengwa, as our Pivot Point guest.
Pivot Point on Kaya Biz.
Dr. Tsengwa, welcome to the show and thank you so much for joining us this evening.
Good evening, Gugu, and I'm very happy to have joined you as well.
It's a delight. I do recall speaking to Wamzila just over a week ago about your earnings, and I did tell him that we would be happy to host you. So I'm happy to see that it's officially taking place this evening.
Yeah, great.
Let's talk about your role and in the office so far, officially been appointed on the 1st of August this year. But you actually have a long-standing history at Exxaro after having previously served as the head of the operation, specifically for coal.
Yeah, look, it's been quite an interesting time of my career, I must say. Mm-hmm. And I think it really came at a time that, you know, I really stabilized in the organization, having been at Exxaro for 19 years now. Mm. And I joined Exxaro at that time. It was Kumba Resources in 2003. So it's been a fantastic journey. It's been a wonderful time of learning between the time I joined and also the time I went into operations, not being a mining engineer.
Yeah.
Having been given that opportunity, and then obviously this opportunity now to lead this wonderful organization, and really so grateful to the shareholders of Exxaro and also our board of directors mm-hmm. to have really voted for me to lead this organization. So yeah, it's been a very exciting time, I can say to you.
Indeed. I appreciate that you've given us some insight into your history at the organization. And maybe let's reflect on that over the last two decades, really, that transition of transformation yeah. within the mining field, and specifically under Exxaro, formerly as a different company. But perhaps you can shed some light on what you've witnessed over the last two decades, and if we are on track in terms of driving transformation, both in terms of female participation and people of color within the mining fraternity.
Yeah. Look, it's been quite an interesting, I could even say it was like, and as you say, two decades. And I think the first 10 years had been that of lack of recognition of women mm-hmm. in this industry in terms of getting women to participate in the core of the business, let alone, obviously, you know, we sweep the floors and we make the tea, we take the minutes, we are PAs, we're doing all of that. But for women to be in the core, meaning you are a mining engineer that's really, you know, sitting at the mine and doing miners' work, being a mine overseer, and being a manager mining, really running production. So we've seen that first decade where really there was this doubt of whether there are even these women, you know, out there.
Mm.
And I must say, in that first 10 years, just to share what our organization did, we put in a lot of resources in developing young professionals in training. And we were quite biased in terms of the kind of individuals we were choosing to join the organization, very much biased on women mining engineers.
Uh-huh.
Obviously, we did have other technical fields that we pulled in. And then the last 10 decades, I mean, the last 10 years, I would say, we really saw, even though there was this dismissal of whether women existed, then we started to see an effort of really going out and looking for talent,
yes.
Of women, Black women specifically. And some of this was driven by compliance at the beginning. And I must say, with the likes of myself,
mm-hmm.
People who had such strong determination to step out their own comfort zone, stepping out of an area of training into this area of mining really encouraged a lot of women, encouraged the organization as well to start taking women seriously and pulling them into the center of mining. So I would say that we've made some good progress in the sector itself. If I look at 5 years ago, we had 12% of women in the core of mining. That includes all levels, including the leadership levels. And today we're sitting at 15%. That is not bad, but it's not where we should be.
Got you. And I guess that means opening up more opportunities and being part of this drive and transition as we do see more female executives like yourself at the helm of some of these entities. In my mind, I'm thinking of Natasha Fulyun at Amplats and Mpumizi Galala at Kumba Iron Ore. And it's wonderful to see this growing theme and trend of women who have these opportunities available, specifically within the corporate office space. But help us understand from a technical point of view, if there are sufficient efforts there to ensure that women within the various mining operations who are on the ground taking care of actual operations have the same opportunities that might be offered to those within the corporate spaces, typically in HR, finance and executive roles.
Yeah, look, let me start first by also recognizing the ladies you've mentioned, and Natasha and Bumi. These are my colleagues in this space. And we always strive to pull other women up. We always strive from a Minerals Council level to make an impact, at least for those who are following behind us, to be recognized. And I like the fact that these are really big mining companies that are demonstrating this recognition at the leadership level. And really, for me, it really encourages me to have people like them to really lead this battle we are in. From a technical position, as I said, I've really seen in my own organization and other organizations, a lot of women who are occupying this technical position. I mean, look, in companies like ours, you would have the corporate center and you will have women in finance. Yes, those are women in mining, but we always look at those in core as a measure of success in what we're doing, because we tend to be pushed to HR and be pushed to other softer, the so-called softer functions in an organization. But I must say that, you know, for instance, the woman or the person that leads the whole fraternity of mining, technical mining skills, is a young lady called Kate at our head office.
Ooh.
Very young, very dynamic, and she's actually leading all the all our business units, all our minds, in terms of giving them direction from a technical point of view. If you talk about standards of mine, how do you mine, methodology, and she's the person who is a go-to to even approve the kind of equipment that we use for mining. That is powerful. We see engineers today at mine level, at HOD level, you know, we've got powerful women that are sitting at our mines, leading. They are mining. I mean, they are like managers mining.
Yeah.
They are knocking on the door of being GMs or they lead the mine itself. And now I can say to you, at all levels of technical areas of expertise, Gugu,
yes, ma'am,
we are represented very well. I am very, very happy. As I say to you, I do go underground quite often, and I meet women there who are mine overseers, who lead teams, who are miners, who when you walk into a section, they tell you that, Dr. Nombasa, this is how we've mined today. This is how we hope to proceed. This is how I've deployed my people. This is how my CM machine is working. Very powerful, something that we've never had before. We've got electricians underground. Obviously, even in open cast mines, I'm just using underground because we've never known women to really work underground as well as we see today. As I said, I've witnessed it in my organization. I know those women by first name because I want to call them and be able to understand what is bothering you guys in Grant at this time. I've got a wonderful person there who I always talk to and say, Doctor, I'll always tell you what is not going right. And she will always say to you, we need this, we need that. But I'm trying to say to you, we are well represented. We've got people who are mining and taking these minerals from underground. And we also have got wonderful women who fix, you know, these equipment.
Yeah.
And who actually do real work as we call it, core.
Definitely. I find it so refreshing that you know them by name, you know their operations, you know where they are located. And I don't know too much about the technical side, for, you know, the calorific value and the tons that need to be mined per day. But it's so refreshing to see that as a leader, you're connected with your people on the ground, even as far afield as they might be. And that tells us something about your leadership style. And I'm hoping perhaps that you can, you know, share some insight and information about your pivotal experiences that have shaped your leadership style to be as authoritative as you are in terms of driving a company's strategy, but yet still exercising the right amount of empathy to relate with your staff as people.
You know, I think, Gugu, as we grow up, we sometimes get so consumed by who we are as women and too conscious of our femininity. We too conscious of whether you're going to make it. And when you happen to be in a team, you're also under pressure and too conscious of winning. And I was no different. And I think for me, one of the pivotal moments of my leadership was in 2009.
Mm-hmm.
After I've realized that I was an executive GM of safety and sustainability. And I was watching the operations team, and it was mainly male, and they were so powerful around the boardroom. And I look at myself, I said, I can sit here in the executive with them, but I don't think I'm adding as much value as these guys are adding. And I started knocking on the door to say to my seniors, I also want to be part of operations. And it was never heard of that a non-engineer, when you are a female, you're given an opportunity to go and run operations. And I was fortunate. But for me, as I was preparing to take this responsibility, I realized that there was something not fulfilling in me. I had stepped out of the executive, by the way, and taken a sort of a self-demotion so that I can really get this opportunity. And I was given this GM position to go and run three underground mines. And, you know, for me, what was very scary was, for the first time, I was going to do something which I was not trained for, something that I was not as comfortable as I was in my previous position, where I could do anything in it. And I realized that when I could do everything and anything, I did not consider the importance of working through people, because I could do everything. I was probably overly demanding on people. I was not as sympathetic that I should have been. And when I realized now that, yeah, you're going into a space where you know zilch, now I was very scared. And my mind said to me, the only way you can win is to go and learn from these people.
Yeah.
You should go and work with them. You've got to respect their work. And it really changed that fear. And to say, what do I tell this people when I show up? Because I'm bringing nothing, really. And that thing that said, look, be honest with them and say, look, I'm here to lead you. I'm here to learn. And please, if you really teach me well, I will represent you well. And I'm telling you today, I think that for me has been my turning point, has been a point where I started to respect people for who they are, whether they're men or not. Men were there before us, and I had to respect them for the fact that they knew better than me. And I'm telling you, that partnership has been great. And just being authentic and being me and agreeing that I don't know when I didn't know. And the fact that I prepare very well, by the way, as a person. So if you teach me something, I'll pull up books, I'll do everything so that I don't disappoint you. So I think those personal qualities of really being humble and recognizing people for their strengths, partnering with them genuinely. And then I practice also a skill of mindfulness so that when I'm in the workplace, I'm fully present. I think for me, those have been my great, I'd say, leadership quality that have really taken me this far, and really listening to people.
Definitely. Listening, as you say, self-development and mindfulness. I find it so refreshing that as part of your professional development and growth ambitions, you went back to the ground instead of walking into the office and saying, I hold a PhD in agronomy from Maryland University. So I don't think I need to know the ops on the ground. But that tells us something about who you are and where you're from. I believe your background is from the Transkei, which tells us how humble your beginnings are. And I guess also speaks to the overall ethos in how you try to align what it is that your business strategy does, but still speaking to people. And I emphasize this, trying to shift the conversation to ESG specifically. We're aware of the efforts that Exxaro is driving from an environmental point of view, but there's also a strong balance and focus on the social. You've highlighted the increased involvement and development and investment in women, but I'm also keen to understand how through the strategic drive of the entity that you profile and highlight ESG as a key lever for development in the business.
The differentiator, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yes. And something that's very close to our heart. In fact, it's a value to us as a business, ESG.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why if you look at the FTSE Russell ESG Index, we're really leading. And we've been leading for the last 3 years. So very exciting work, something that's very close to my heart. And if you look at my background, agronomy is about environment. It's about plants.
Mm.
So, yeah, I think we, as I said, I don't need to brag about it because I think the results are out there for people to read for themselves. But we really differentiate ourselves. Climate change, our targets around what we want to do in terms of scope 1 and scope 2 emissions and the target of taking those 43% by 2026, all those great things so that we can be carbon neutral by 2050. And that's really the hanger of our strategy as a company.
Definitely. We read the results. We saw the news of the dividends. So a lot of shareholders are looking at this favorably. But I guess to close off with, especially when it comes to the operations of the business and the legacy that you look to leave behind, you're still within your first 100 days at the helm of Exxaro. But when you look back and I guess reflect on the goals and targets and strategy that you'd like to leave behind and impact that you'd like to make at Exxaro, what does it entail and what would success look like to you?
You know, we set targets as organizations, and it makes us feel good because we believe if our people would achieve those targets along with our partners and other stakeholders, we've made it. I think for me, I would measure success of what me and my team would have done better by going far beyond the targets that we've set. I think that for me would be the greatest, because if we say, look, we wanted to have so much of this and we've achieved that, I think for me it's really limiting people. So I think my legacy is that of empowering people to be their best, development of people, especially young people who still have got such a long way, you know, in our economy, where I don't want to say about businesses because they go everywhere, these youngsters. You know, millennials don't like to be in one. It's to really focus on the youngsters and develop them so much that you can leave them and trust them with running our organization. So for me, development of young people, empowering people, people realizing their dreams, to achieving the objectives of the organization. I think if I were to be remembered for that, I'll be very happy. And I am really trying my best to make sure that people feel respected, because if people feel respected, people can make mistakes without feeling that they will be ridiculed. People can be innovative, and that's where people push the boundaries. And that's where I see the value of empowerment of people and letting people to be their best, that they will go beyond whatever target you set for them. So those are the exciting stories I would like to hear when I leave this beautiful organization.
Definitely. But before you go, we're looking forward to seeing the fantastic outcomes that you'll bring out of Exxaro Resources in the years to come. We are aware of the just transition. We are aware of boosting operations. We are aware of your partnership with Transnet. So there's quite a bit to get through and influence, I assume.
Yes, let's talk about that again. I'm really excited about those stories as well. Thank you, Google, for inviting me tonight.
Thank you so much. What a delight in conversation with Dr. Nombasa Tsengwa, the newly appointed CEO of Exxaro Resources, been at the entity, as you've heard, for just shy of two decades, recently appointed as CEO from the 1st of August this year, and lots on the agenda to tackle for one of the leading coal mining houses in South Africa and the continent at large. That was our Pivot Point guest, sharing some key ideals and lessons about pivotal experiences she's had in her career that have shaped her view on leadership, her view on self-development, and most importantly, working very closely with people in order to learn from them, gain their trust, and of course, bring out the best in their performance. It's 24 minutes exactly after 7 o'clock.